Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading the first 6 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know the Lord will bless his word. As we come to pray, would you just ask for the Lord to speak to your own heart as we come to His Word this morning? Take away from your mind distractions, things that would crowd in. And for this time we have remaining, that we be very still in His presence and know His help, both in speaking and in hearing His Word. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we are still now before Thee, we give thanks for the opportunity again of worshiping, of praising the name of the Lord, of singing these psalms and hymns to Thy great and holy name. We ask now, Father, that as we are still, the Word of God has been read, the Spirit of the Lord would come and apply this truth to every heart. Don't let anyone leave today misunderstanding the Word. Don't let anyone leave without receiving a blessing, without being convicted, without being drawn near to the Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer today, we ask. Draw near to us and bless us. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord Jesus spoke these words, I go to prepare a place for you. He spoke them at an opportunity that was filled with uncertainty for His disciples. Because He was shortly going to be taken from them to be crucified, though they did not know the impact of that at this time. They were concerned. They were troubled. They had known of the unrest, of the potential attacks of the Jewish people who wanted to take the life of Christ away. They had been with the Lord enough times to know that if He was to venture toward Jerusalem, it would be certain death for Him, for there were plots and schemes to take His life away. The Lord Jesus, though, at this time when He knew His end, He knew His day, His hour, He knew the very moment, for God had planned that before the world had even been created. The Lord Jesus was one that was given and was in the plan of redemption in the decree of God in eternity. And the Lord coming down to this very important time, He was not thinking about Himself. He was thinking of those who were with Him. He was bringing words of comfort to them. Words of great assurance, words of great power to comfort their souls, giving them a hope for eternity, a hope that would last beyond this time. He was giving them something that they could plant their feet on by faith and be sure that it would not fall under them. I'm speaking about these words that Jesus said to His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. They were filled with such uncertainty. And Thomas would say to him, but Lord, we do not know where you're going. We do not know the way. And the Lord Jesus said to them, but Thomas, I have been with you. I have showed you. I have spoken to you. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if your faith and hope is secure in me, then there is nothing for you to fear. Nothing for you to worry about. Nothing for you to be uncertain of. But uncertain they were. Troubled they were. Unsure of what the future was going to hold for them, they were. And the Lord knows their heart. And the Lord knows your heart today, my friend. He knows my heart. He knows that our frame is made of dust and we are very weak. He understands the limitations of humanity. And Christ Himself became a man. He took on our form, our nature, to be identified with the human race. So Jesus understands. He knows. He knows every circumstance you find yourself in. He knows every trial. He knows every difficulty. And the Lord would speak this word to your heart this morning. Believer, my son, my daughter, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And this should fill your heart with great comfort. Our hearts are often diseased with this lack of faith, diseased with doubt. And we have all the effects of this, and they're so readily seen in our life. They're seen when we look into the inward part. They're seen when we look at our bodies, when we look at the search situation around us. We see so many evidences of this uncertainty, and our heart can be very weak. And it's only the energizing of faith that is the antidote for this in our life. Because when the Word of God comes in, faith is energized by the Word of the Lord. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And so as we are engaged in our faith, we're able to stand against the storm by the strength the Lord gives to us. We are able to know the increase of our faith by our very prayer to the Lord to that end. Lord, increase my faith. Have you prayed that prayer this week? Have you asked the Lord to do that in your own life this very morning? Have you prayed He would fill you with His Spirit so that you can walk in fellowship with Him in order to face the onslaughts of the wicked one and the great number of uncertainties and challenges that face you in this incoming week? I want you to think with me today on the place of heaven where the Lord Jesus has gone to make preparation for you and for me. I want you to think of that place, heaven first of all, and consider its location. Where is heaven? Friends, we do not know where heaven is. And where heaven is not the most important thing. For the fact of the matter is that where the Lord Jesus Christ is, that is heaven. And that is the place where I want to be. I want to be with my Savior. I want to know that I am with Him no matter where He is. Because when we are in heaven with the Savior, it will be an experience of unbroken fellowship. Unbroken fellowship with our triune God. Man, because of sin, was distanced from the Lord. God had to remove Adam and Eve from the garden. And as He removed them from the garden, symbolically, it was a removal of man from the presence of God. That was the significance of them being driven out of the garden. Because the Garden of Eden, the place where God made them, was the place of His communion with man. That was intimate communion that Adam had with his God, where he was without shame. There was oneness with the Lord. But when sin came in, that communion was broken and Adam had to be removed from the presence of the Lord. And so, friends, all of us, being sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, have been removed from the presence of God. And our sin has been that point of removal. The whole story of the Bible, apart from a few chapters at the beginning that deal with creation and the created things, be it angels or universe, the remainder, the balance of the Bible is containing the story of redemption. The story of how God planned to take man who had fallen by sin to redeem his soul and to bring him back into unity with himself once more. That was the whole purpose and plan of God's redemption. That was planned in eternity. If in your mind comes the question, well, if that was planned in eternity, why did God allow sin? Why did God allow man to disobey him? Friend, when you go into those questions and areas that God has not revealed in His Word, you must be energized by faith. Faith which must believe and accept what the Lord has said clearly in His Word when you don't frankly have an answer. And those who try to proffer an answer for those things, it may be 90% or more speculation. At the end of the day, it must come down to faith in what God has said to us in His own precious Word. And the Lord has planned the redemption of your soul from before the foundation of the world. And praise God for that great truth. And Jesus said to His disciples, I am going now to prepare a place for you. Friend, this place is a holy place where the Lord has gone to. Because the Lord Jehovah, who is holy in all His nature and character and His ways, He abides there in that place. And any place where God abides is a place marked and known by holiness, the total and complete absence of sin. There is nothing that defiles, nothing that is corrupt, nothing that is unclean in the presence of our holy God. So the place that Christ has gone to and to make preparation, it is a holy place. It speaks of the very nature and character of the Lord. Angels will be there. The redeemed saints will be there, and all of them will be marked by holiness. Holiness in their activity. Holiness in their feelings. Holy in their disposition. Holy in their desires. Holy in their conversation. Everything about those who are in the presence of God, there is nothing that is unclean. Everything is pure. That, to a child of God, is the definition of paradise, where there is nothing that is unclean, nothing that defiles. In the presence of our holy God, beholding the character and the beauty and the wonder of Him whom our soul loves, that for the child of God will mean more than any earthly riches. There will be no more courts in heaven after the great judgment that God has set up. And apart from that, there will be no juries. There will be no lawyers in prisons. There will be no security systems. There will be no need for any of those things that we spend millions upon billions of dollars in this earth. None needed. All who dwell there dwell in perfect obedience to the Word of God. The law is their delight. Now I would say to you, as a child of God, if you're a saved person here today, in your heart there is a deep desire to obey the Lord. A deep desire to follow His will. You see very often your inability. You note your failings. You mark your great discrepancies to the law of God. But there is in you a desire. A desire to obey. A desire to follow. A desire to be like the Lord. And those desires that you have now in a very small form, we pray it will blossom in our lives. We pray as we grow to be more like the Lord, those things will develop. But when we come into God's presence, there we will have those things in abundance. There will be no sin in that place. It is a holy place. But friend, it is also a glorious place. How can we with our language describe the future home of the believer? It is a place like no other place. It is a place of order. There will be no chaos in heaven. There will be no confusion in heaven. Confusion. Is that not a word that describes much of the world today? Confusion. Even when you think of those who have the disease called Alzheimer's. A very debilitating disease where the mind loses its ability to focus. And confusion would be a thing that marks someone who has that awful illness. In heaven, it is a place where there is no confusion. Everything is crystal clear. Everything that has to be thought or done will be done with clarity. You, in seeking the will of God for your life, believer, have found times where you have been confused. Times where you have been uncertain. And you long inside to know what way you are to turn. And you seek the Lord, and indeed we should, seek and ask Him for the right direction. But still, we are human, we are filled with doubts, and we wonder, well, if I go that way, what's going to happen? You step back, take that step, I can't go that direction, you step back again, uncertainty. But in heaven, there is perfect order. There is no uncertainty. But it is also a glorious place because of its peacefulness. There will be no war, no fighting, no disputing. There will be no labor disputes. There will be no striking. All of these things which are so much connected with the greed of the heart of man to want more, I want aggression, I want control and power, and the way I will get that is by fighting for my cause. And so man is given to fighting. He is given to violence. That was the very thing that marked the world before God came in Noah's day to destroy it. It was given over to violence because there was no peace. And those who come today speaking about peace or peace accords, they are speaking of it only in a human context. And they have not the answer. Because they address every other factor than dealing with the core factor, which is the heart of man. We are without peace outside of Christ. But in Christ, there is that element of peace, that beginning understanding of peace, which will be completely finished when we come to God's kingdom in heaven. It is a place glorious because of happiness. There'll be no tears. A veil of tears has been described as this world. Your life, at many occasions, overcome with tears of happiness. Those are good tears. But too often, the tears of bitterness, the tears of sorrow, the tears of anxiety, those things which crowd in upon the life, the tears of a loved one that has been taken away, the tears of one that has gone out into eternity and we don't know the end of that individual, we're uncertain of where they've gone. In heaven, there will be peace and happiness will be the fruit of that peace. There will be no sorrow and no tears there. A place of resplendent glory where there is richness in abundance. There will be no poverty. There will be no lack of anything because the Lord is the one who will provide. His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And everything that we will have need of in the abundance of the riches of Christ being granted to us, we are the co-inheritors of the Lord. And all that He has given to Christ, He promises to us. We have a great inheritance, richness beyond our ability to comprehend. There will be no sickness there. We have dealt so much in our congregation with those who are overcome with weakness. Our sister Kay has spent the last 20 years of her life one stage of sickness to another. And she has borne a great deal in her body. And many of you have borne things that the rest of us know nothing about. And your body in the aging process, in the illnesses that affect us, your health has been less maybe than what you would have liked. But you look forward to a day. Friend, it may not be that far off for you. Looking forward to a day when there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more illness that's going to so limit you in doing what you want to do even for the Lord. But He knows your heart. He knows your need. He knows your life. We try to stretch our language to the highest degree and pitch, but we cannot lay hold of explaining how glorious this place of heaven is. It's a place where there will be no end. Our fellowship with Christ will never, ever, ever, ever come to an end. It is a place of preeminent glory where the Lord Jesus is there and we will joy and rejoice in fellowship with Him. There is a oneness in fellowship. There is a unity of fellowship which we will have with our Savior and with our Heavenly Father that can never be taken away. There will be life, but friend, it will be life without the fear of death following. For that last great enemy, death, has been destroyed. And when we are in glory, we are with the Lord forever and forever, and there will be no more fear of death. The apostle says this, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He cannot also find human words to describe properly what this is. He's using superlatives, the exceeding, the eternal weight of glory that rests upon those who know Christ. Do you know Him today, my friend? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Are you resting on the Lord for your eternal salvation? For the Lord is here today. He has said in this very verse, in this chapter we have read, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You will come to the Father only through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks about the exceeding riches of His grace. The exceeding riches of His grace, and Paul says in Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The glory revealed in us? In these wicked characters? In these bodies and spirits so limited and tied down by ourselves? Yes, friend. The glory that will be revealed in us. It is the glory of God and the glory of Christ that will be revealed in the child of God. And we will possess that. It is a satisfying place No amount of earthly wealth or pleasure can bring lasting satisfaction. There is something called contentment, which maybe a brave few of us really know the meaning of. Godliness with contentment, it is great gain, says the Lord. Back at the end of August, when I was in Fredericton, I was standing out in the parking lot talking to Brother John Downey, and we were just considering how great things the Lord has done for us, and how the heart of man is too large to be filled with anything that this world can offer. Has that not been proved conclusively time and time again by those in this world that have everything the world can offer, and yet deep down their lives are filled with misery? And they will end their life in suicide. They will end their life by drinking themselves to an early grave, by drug overdoses, thinking to find a new high, a new experience of some joy. And where does it leave them? In a Christless hell, because they're looking for contentment and satisfaction and happiness in the wrong place. And it's not to be found in this world, because the heart of man cannot be filled with the things of this world. The heart would just be emptied by all of the pleasures that can be put into the heart. Oh, it's satisfied for a brief moment. There's a thrill section. But beyond that, it doesn't give a lasting peace. But a greater sight of Christ, my friends, produces a lesser interest in the things of this world. A greater sight of Christ produces a lesser interest in the things of this world. So, if you want to know the Lord, if you want to know that deeper contentment, come closer to Christ, and you will have less interest in the things of this world. Paul said to Timothy in the first of Timothy's letter, chapter 6, he says these words, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, and nor trust in uncertain riches." Did you catch that phrase where it said that the ungodly men, they will drown in destruction and perdition? Drowning? Drowning in the very thing that they think is going to bring them satisfaction? What man would jump into a turbulent pool of boiling water? And yet, men in this world, they jump into those things thinking that they're going to be satisfying to them, and they end up drowning in the very place that they were looking for satisfaction. The heart of man cannot be filled with these things in this world. The Lord has, though, my friend, an inexhaustible storehouse. He has for us a bounty and abundance which will never be pacified. It will never be taken away. It can never be extinguished. Oh, my friend, see it today. Understand that the unsearchable riches of Christ are granted to us. Have you experienced it this morning? Do you know what it is to rest in Him? It is a holy place. It is a glorious place. It is a satisfying place. But it is an everlasting place. Its duration, it will never come to an end. great empires of this world have come and gone. Financial institutions have come and gone. The greatest and the wealthiest nation in the world is hurled into recession almost. Yes, friend, there are uncertain riches. But there is a place that God has prepared for us where thieves cannot break through and steal. It's an investment, an inheritance that is incorruptible, and the moth cannot consume it. It is a city that hath foundations, a house eternal in the heavens, an everlasting kingdom. But friend, what about the person in our text today? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. To whom was the task left in this preparation? Did the Lord leave it to a prophet or to a faithful angel, to the highest angel? No, He took this task upon Himself. It was not delegated, but it was the Son of God who took this task of going to make preparation for you in the highest heaven above. And He could do that because He purchased that possession. You've all heard of stories of men who have gambled their lives away with drinking. Weekly paychecks gone, houses mortgaged, gambled away. You've heard of circumstances like that. And yet, my friend, man himself, each one of us, we've bartered away our very soul and our inheritance. And we are so impoverished by sin that we could never regain the real estate that we lost. We could never gain heaven by ourselves. Our end left to ourselves is only going to be the place reserved for us in a lost eternity. But the person of Christ purchased the possession for me. He purchased my spot in heaven. And He has a right to it. And I have a right to it in Christ because I am found in Him. And because I am in the Lord and because His blood has purchased that possession for me, I now have full confidence. I have nothing to fear. That purchased possession for me can never be taken away. No one can withdraw it. The Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And my friend, when He spoke those words, do you know the timing? He was only scant moments away from going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He would be left alone in deep agony, in sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He would be betrayed by one of His own disciples. He would be shamefully treated as a common criminal. He'd be wrongfully accused of sin and blasphemy. He'd be mocked and ridiculed and spit on by the Jews who were there. He'd be brutalized by the Roman soldiers. He would be spiked to a tree where He would give His life, placed in a borrowed tomb. And all this, why? All this that He might purchase a possession for you. Purchase a place for you to be there. The hymn writer said, O Christ, what burdens bowed Thy head? Our load was laid on Thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for Thee. But Thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings draft for me. In the place of my sin, what do I receive? I receive all. All that Christ has purchased for me. We have this morning a purchased possession. For He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He has come also to make preparation in glory. Same word is used when John the Baptist was said to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. And Christ in turn has gone to make preparation for us. But here is a wonder. For Christ that has anything to prepare, He's the God-man. And yet He is said clearly in His Word, who took humanity upon Himself, He has gone into glory and He has a work to do there. A preparing work for you and me. He is the one who holds possession of this place. Nothing and no one can take it from Him. In the older economy, when you would have an Eastern company of travelers going, a caravan, and they'd be heading toward a town, one in the caravan would go ahead and would find lodging for all those who were there, would try to find location. And when that had been secured, that one person would come out to the gate of the city and would wait for the caravan to come. And when the caravan would come, that one person would then escort them to the lodging that they had, the prepared place. And so when you and I come to the gate of glory, Christ will be there to welcome us and bring us to that possession that He has given, that is ours. It is safe in that place. And the Lord has also told us in His Word, the people for whom it has been prepared, it's for you. It's for me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You have a title deed upon that property. When we think of property, we think of earthly terms, don't we? But there is a possession in glory. Do not make any mistake about that. And there is a title deed, and your name is on that. And you have a prepared place, a mansion in glory, for all who make their calling and election sure. The Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, friend. And let me tell you, there will be no subdivision in heaven that is half occupied. There's not going to be a place where there's some empty places, empty homes, or however we're going to abide there. There's not going to be a vacant spot. Oh, that person never quite made it. No, friend. For the Lord Jesus died for His elect people. And He died that we will be in our place in glory. For the blood of Christ was not shed in vain. He did not die to make it possible for people to get to heaven or just give man an opportunity. He died for His people. And He died for those whom He has chosen and were given to Him by the Father. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, the Lord Jesus said. And friend, He has done it all for you. Do you remember the story of Joshua? As they were preparing to go into the land of Canaan, and Jericho was that fortified city and Rahab living in the city, Joshua sent the two spies. And when they arrived there, Rahab took them in and hid them upstairs. And she began to speak to those spies and she told them that all that has happened, as soon as we heard these things, she said, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. You see, what God had done previously in defeating those armies as the Israelites were marching through the wilderness, that news had spread forward into Canaan, and it had struck fear into the hearts of those people who were there, and also in Jericho. It was a city shut up. Secured. And when they got in and Rahab explained to them, this is the spirit among the people. Everyone is terrified. Everyone is afraid because they know the Lord God has done this for you. He has done it because of you. And then as they got back, the spies, they reported, and Joshua said in verse 24 of chapter 20 of chapter 2, he said, for the Lord truly hath delivered into our hands all the land. And for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And why did God do that? He did it, my friends, because of His people. He prepared a way for His people, and there was going to be the giving of that possession to them at that time. We are coming to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. My friends, my believing friends, if you know this today, what will this do for you as a child of God to tap into this great truth? It is going to give you an increased attachment to the Savior. Surely the more you dwell on this truth of what Christ has done for you, what He has purchased for you, are you not going to love Him more? Are you not going to want to come closer to Him? The Lord Jesus has given everything for you. Therefore, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice for Him. Would you have to say today that your love has gone a bit cold? Maybe your heart is not on fire for the Lord as once it was, or you know it should be. If your heart has gone cold, then bask in the sunlight of this great truth and come close back to your Savior again. Think, my friend, of the pit of your sin from which Christ has delivered you. Think of the hell that He has delivered you from and the glory that He has promised for you to receive. And then in that sense, live your life for Him here and now for whatever time you have left. It will also be and give you a brighter perspective during the hard circumstances of life. Whatever you have been dealt from the Lord, whatever you have been given to suffer for the Lord, it will help you to bear that and to go through that. All things indeed work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And let us think that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And there is a greater desire for the mind of Christ and His work to be fulfilled in us. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. These are the promises of God to us today. Oh, friend, let us rest in Him. Let us take our full and our fill of the feast that the Lord has given to us in these words, I go to prepare a place for you. Let's bow in prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, our service is just about over. I do want to give an opportunity, though, to any who are here without the Savior. You don't know Christ in your heart, or maybe you're not certain. Maybe at one time you thought you trusted the Lord, but today you're not clear. Speak to us at the end of the meeting. We'd be happy to share with you from the Word of the Lord and point you to the Scripture that will help you. Friend, if you're not a Christian today, call on the Lord Jesus Christ and be certain that your place in heaven is secure. Our loving Father, we pray today that Thy Word will be written on every heart. Strive, Lord, we pray, with those who are still outside of Christ. Strive with those who are uncertain and give them the assurance necessary. And Lord, we pray for those who have maybe grown cold in heart, and we all have been there. Speak to them and draw them back to Thyself. And Lord, do a great work in every heart. We ask all this today in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.